Welcome to this guided meditation with Father Mark, your guide for a more intimate and transformative connection with Christ. Please pause, play, and adapt this aid to facilitate your own personal conversation with the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Jesus, we come into your presence once again to meditate on your word, to be filled with you, with your truth, with your light, as we continue on our Advent journey. Begin, Jesus, preparing my mind and heart by taking a few deep breaths, just by letting go of any tensions or distractions or anything that would cause me to be unsettled. I'm in lack of peace in this time of prayer, so I just let go of any physical tension through my breathing, but also any emotional, spiritual tension by letting go of anything that worries or concerns me to create a real space of peace, calm, in order to let you in, to remove any walls or barriers. Jesus, I increase my faith in you. I believe you're here. I believe you want to save me. You want to speak to me. You want to heal me. You want to give me consolation. Teach me. So I welcome that now. Believe that. I want that. I hope in you. I hope in your goodness and kindness, in your promises of eternal life, that in this time of Advent, we're preparing for your coming, not just at Christmas, but also your second coming to me. Not to be in fear of that second coming at the end of my life, but as the opening collect of the Mass has been praying, especially in that first week of Advent, stand up. Stand erect, as that gospel passage says, for your salvation is near at hand. I'm in anticipation and confidence, looking forward to the day of judgment, because I know you love me, and I know that I've brought you everything already that needs justice and judgment, and you've shown me mercy. And I'm sincerely working with your grace to grow. I have nothing to fear, so I hope in you. I love you, Lord. Love you for your strength and your goodness. So thank you. Thank you for being present to me here, for shedding light in my heart. The gospel is Matthew 9:27-31. As Jesus passed by, two blind men followed him, crying out, "Son of David, have pity on us." When he entered the house, the blind men approached him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe I can do this?" "Yes, Lord," they said to him. Then he touched their eyes and said, "Let it be done for you according to your faith." And their eyes were opened. Jesus warned them sternly, "See that no one knows about this." But they went out and spread the word of him through all that land. Jesus, I imagine this scene, you on your way to a town, maybe on your way to Jerusalem, and you're passing by, and two blind men that are either being accompanied by somebody or just on the side of the road as you enter a town, kind of begging at the entrance, the gate. And they've heard you're coming, and they cry out to you in a scream amongst all the others, like a gaggle of journalists wanting an important person to hear their question and answer them. They cry out above everyone else, "Son of David, have pity on us." Cry out asking for mercy. Cry out with a title of recognition of who you are, the Son of David, the Prince and heir to the throne, the one destined, a messianic title, one destined to lead Israel against its enemies. It's a title of your kingship, your divinity, your authority, your messianic nature. They recognize you, that you're not just anyone or any prophet, but you are the Son of David. It's a cry of faith, of trust. And yet, Jesus, it seems like you don't answer them. They cry it, but then the next line is when he entered the house. So it seems they cried that out and got no answer and then just continued to follow after you. Continued to maybe not keep insisting, but perhaps to keep crying that out. But in any event, they're still close to you as you get into that house. And there's still a dialogue going on. There's still an engagement because it says, when he entered the house, the blind man approached him. And then Jesus said to them, so they must have been continuing to ask or to talk or to dialogue with Jesus and into the house. It speaks to me of persistent prayer, of ongoing prayer, even when I don't see or get an answer. No, I know you're answering, even I know we're in relationship, even though I know you haven't left me behind, but I'm not getting perhaps the answer I want. And so the persistence in my prayer is so important. The showing my love by just continuing to pursue you. That it's just right and just that I love and pursue and obey and listen to you regardless of how you respond to me. Because that's just love, disinterested, willing and wanting the good of the other. That's just praising and glorifying my Creator, my Savior, my Redeemer, the one who's done so much for me already. So my love for you and my pursuit of you, my daily prayer, doesn't depend on you blessing me and answering all of my prayers and giving me what I want. I do it because it's right. It's just. It's my duty and salvation always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father. But no doubt, Lord, I want your blessing, your answer, your grace. And so these blind men persist with you. And then Jesus, you ask them, do you believe I can do this? Maybe even their persistence still wasn't enough. Or perhaps, Jesus, you knew they really wanted it. It was evident to you they really wanted it because of their persistence. You wanted them to recognize how much they wanted and reaffirm even publicly before others by answering the question that if they did believe. Or maybe you wanted everyone else to see it because then you wanted it to be a lesson for everyone else. Hey, look at these guys who persist and how much they want it. It was an examine for everyone else around watching. Just like our faith is a witness to all, our persistence, our belief and love of Jesus, even when things aren't going our way or externally or there's not an answer to our prayers and our family members and others are watching us. It's a witness, our persistence and our love. And kind of like Job, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I am going to love you no matter what. It's a witness to others. But whatever the motive, Jesus, you do ask them, do you believe I can do this? And they answer, yes, Lord. Yes, I believe you can. Like Peter, yes, Lord, we believe and have come to know that you are the Son of God, the Holy One of Israel. Just like Mary, yes, I believe. Let it be done to me according to your word. And just all of those demonstrations of faith in Scripture. It's so important to Jesus, not because we need to earn it, but because Jesus wants our heart to come to that total abandonment and that total realization. Only you have the words of everlasting life. Like, where else should we go? Yes, Lord, I believe that you are my salvation. Only you can heal my blindness. Only you can change in me what I can't change in myself. Then he touched their eyes and said, "Let it be done for you according to your faith." That beautiful phrase, "Let it be done." How beautiful it must have been for these blind men to hear Jesus and to feel his touch. That powerful, caring, loving touch of Jesus. That gesture, physical gesture, expressing what was in his heart and what he said, "Let it be done for you according to your faith." Maybe not just according in the sense of "let it be done" to the measure of your faith, and that your faith is kind of the limit. Okay, only in as much as you have faith am I going to do something in you, as if God's only willing to do as much as we want. But I think in the sense of your faith has opened the door to divine power. So let it be done. Let divine power come in and do this. Your faith has helped you recognize what God wants to do for you all along. He wants to save. He wants to touch. The whole purpose of the incarnation of Jesus becoming man in flesh and walking by us is to elicit in us that cry, "Son of David, have mercy on us. Have pity on us. We need you." And God says, "I want to do this now that you've opened the door, now that you've recognized and opened your hearts, now that you've said, yes, let it be. In fiat, we believe. Now I can do what I've always wanted to do because now you want it. You're open. You're not closed." It's almost a cry of joy. "Let it be done for you according to your faith." And their eyes were opened. And it happened. Their eyes were opened. Jesus, how much in me has changed over the years thanks to your grace? Maybe I don't see it as instantaneously, and sometimes I do, but sometimes it more often than not takes time, process of renewal. Not because you're any less powerful, but because I'm little by little, according to my faith is growing and changing as I see you act in my life, as I pray, as I let grace have more space in my soul, and then it grows. And so you're able to do more. My eyes are opened little by little to see things as they truly are. Maybe we're coming to the end of this meditation and haven't really hit that point, or hadn't had time to hit that point. See that no one knows about this, Jesus, you telling them, "Hey, keep this between us," that mysterious, kind of almost irrational expectation or command. "Hey, you blind people, don't let people know that you've been healed." It's kind of so evident. Everyone is going to see these blind people are now seeing. Like, they can't hide this. It's unrealistic for Jesus to say, "Hey, see to it that no one knows about this." What do you mean? I can't not let people know about this, right? And maybe, I don't know, I don't want to venture too many interpretations. I wonder if Jesus says this another way to see it. He says it with a little bit of a smirk, a little bit with a twinkle in his eye. Hey, don't let anybody notice that you're seeing now. Almost to say, you know, I know you can't hide this. You can't hide what my power does in you. You can't hide the joy and the exuberance and the enthusiasm that comes from freedom and renewal and everything becoming healed. Like, it's going to be so evident to everyone what I've done for you. Like, it's almost an indirect say, let your light shine. Don't put it under a basket. Hey, see that no one knows about this, hey? But they went out and spread the word of him throughout all the land. You got to think that maybe it's not a literal phrase of Jesus. And I'm no scripture scholar, haven't studied the Aramaic or what. It might be kind of one of those enigmatic phrases that doesn't mean what it literally says. But by reading the effect, maybe it was Jesus saying, hey, share this light. Yes, don't go telling, because I want people to come to faith on their own. Let people hear my word and see the signs and wonders to come to faith. But I think it really is like a tongue in cheek. But anyhow, I think that's a beautiful way to see it. You know, they went out and spread it because Jesus wanted them to prepare the way to share the miracle, to go out and spread it. It wasn't a command not to. It was almost, I know you guys, this is why I heal, so that God's glory can be revealed. Faith can come to the world. People can see and decide for themselves and cry out on their own, Son of David, have pity on us. Come to their own conversion and desire of repentance, and to come and ask me to touch them. That's what I want. What I've done for you, I want for everyone. And so go out, spread the word through all the land. Take some time to make your resolution for the day, how Jesus spoke to you through this gospel. Keep talking with him about it. Come up with how this should change your thought, words, and actions during this day, and make that agreement with Jesus, that desire to respond, and then close out your meditation. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
This has been a guided meditation with Father Mark Haidu of the Legionaries of Christ. If this has helped you, please consider sharing it with a friend, along with the other meditations, homilies, and talks found on the Legionaries of Christ podcast, located on all major platforms, or go to rcnytristate.org for links.